Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In your bulletin is an outline of the sermon. If you take that, it'll help you track with the points I want to make this morning in this season of Advent that we are in and what this all means for us. And we're going to focus on the theme of Advent, definitely, but also we got to pay attention to John the Baptist here in the gospel reading when he says, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'd like to start off with a question here, and it's this. How ready are you for Christmas? Yeah, if you're anything like we are at the Hemingway House, things are getting a little bit ramped up into the frantic section of life. And there are a lot of things that have to get done before the big day gets here, and that can make us pretty stressed out. So here's another question for you. Don't need to see a show of hands or anything, but anybody in this room get stressed out for Christmas, worrying about all the things that you have to do at this time of year? If that is the case, just know this, you are not alone. In a recent poll, 45% of Americans say they would rather skip Christmas because of how stressful it is. 69% of Americans are stressed out by a lack of money for the holiday. 51% are stressed out about gift buying and gift giving. And it is estimated that at this time of year, because people are so frazzled, it affects what happens in the workplace. In fact, one research group says that the stress of this time of year accounts for 2.14 days a month that are lost at people's jobs because their minds are so focused on what they have to get done to have a proper holiday. So with all of that being said, and with all the stress and the burdens that come along with this, maybe we ought to just skip this whole thing, right? Because is it really worth all of the trouble? Well, I would say this, not because I'm so wise or because I have all this figured out, but because somebody bigger and better than I do has it figured out. Maybe it's not the season's fault for causing so much stress, but maybe it has more to do with the way that we look at Christmas. And that's what God is saying to us through the text, through this time of the Advent season, that it's time for us to get refocused because Christmas is not a time when we should be burdened. In fact, the fact that it is so stressful at this time of year is proof that we live in a broken and sinful world because the whole point of Christmas and the coming of the Messiah to this world is that God sent his son to take the burdens of life away. And that's what this year is all about, especially this time of year, this season of Advent, where God tells us that the biggest burden that we have on our shoulders has been taken care of. That is eternal life and spent in his presence because we are forgiven of our sins. And so we are called now, because that has been taken care of, to live in a new way, a light and a burden-free way, knowing that our Lord has done the heavy lifting for us. And that's what we do at this time of year, the time we call Advent. We get refocused on the main things of Christmas, the main point of Christmas, and remember what it's really all about and how much of a game changer it is, not just for our eternal lives, but for our day-to-day lives. And where do you start to go to get refocused? You go right to the Word, and you go to the Christmas story. And if you follow the Word as we lead up to the Christmas story in the traditional church year, that means that some of the readings always take us to John the Baptist. Even though what he is doing in his ministry comes after the birth of Jesus Christ, what he is doing and what he's prepping the people of God for actually is what we need to remember at this time of year, to remember the point of Christ, why he came the first time, but also why we now need to get ready to meet him if he comes the second time while we're alive or if we go to be with him first. And it's through this understanding, through this refocusing, through getting the main thing that we find the ultimate relief from our stresses and from our burdens and the knowledge that our God has everything under control. And so let's go to the outline. These are your first blanks. Advent is a season that lets us know that history has a purpose. Many people say there is no purpose or meaning to life. Advent says the opposite. Because in Advent, we see how God has been working throughout history to put his plan of salvation into place. Advent tells us that our God is in control of everything, and his plan is to save his people. Advent is designed to remind us that God has a plan for us, and his plan is to take the burdens of living in a sinful world off of us. That should provide us a ton of comfort in our day-to-day lives as we understand that history actually has direction. And it's for the glory of God, and it's according to his design and for his purpose and his plan. Because as we watch the Advent story unfold into the plan of salvation as a whole, we see how our Lord Jesus broke into history 2,000 years ago and changed time and eternity forever. And Advent reminds us that he's already done this. The game has been changed. And it reminds us that he is going to come back again. And so this is the time where we hear over and over again, God sent his son to this world to set us free, and that you and I don't have to live as slaves to the pressures and the burdens of a sinful world. You know, when I meet people at whatever function I may be at that isn't necessarily church-related, but when I meet people and we get to talking or whatever, and we get to that question as we're, you know, getting to know each other, and they ask me, well, what do you do? And that's when I get to tell them I'm a pastor. And that's where a couple of things happen. They either do one thing, which is try to recount how many times they've just cursed in front of me, or they open up and they start to talk about maybe some of the things that they're struggling with in life. And many times those people that I come in contact with are unbelievers. And so often I hear them say, you know, I wish there was some kind of equation or system that would allow me to have a more joyful life, a life that has more freedom from the things of my past or the burdens on my conscience. And that's when the door is wide open for me to talk to them about Jesus and what he has done. And that's what Advent is all about. It tells us about that thing that people are looking for. People are looking for that equation, if you will, of how this all works. How do you have that release? How do you have that relief from the burden? And so that's an opportunity for me to tell it to the non-believer, but it's also something you and I as believers are called to live in on a regular basis, and it's a fairly simple equation. Number one, Jesus came to earth to do for you what you can't. Pay for your sins. Number two, you are called to recognize this and, like John says, repent of your imperfections, or what the Bible calls sins. Three, believe that he has done everything for you necessary for salvation. Four, receive the freedom from the burdens of a sinful world that he offers you. And five, share that gift that you've been given with others. That's the way the story goes. It's a story of grace. It's a story of love and sacrifice and mercy and forgiveness. And God wants all of his children to live in that. And that's what our buddy John the Baptist, in his own kind of unique John the Baptist way, was doing for the world, trying to get them to understand the equation so that they would wake up and receive the freedom that only God can provide. That's what he was telling them. So your next blanks, let's go on a run here. John the Baptist defined the situation the people were in so that it could be properly dealt with. That's by repentance. Because your societal status won't cleanse your sins. The size of your bank account won't save you. Your bloodline doesn't make you a child of God. In fact, the only blood that changes us from the children of the enemy into the children of God is the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood makes us heirs of God's kingdom. And see, the people of that time in that world had a wrong focus on what was important about salvation. And that meant they were viewing God in the wrong way and not receiving the benefits of the removal of their burdens in this world and how God wants us to live because he's taking care of the next. And so we are prey to this problem as well. And we need to understand that you have to get this equation right. And it all starts with God doing all the lifting through sending his son. His son is doing the verbs for us so that we can be saved. You know, at this time of year, I'm reminded of a time a couple of years ago, and I asked for his permission to tell this story, just so you don't think I'm embarrassing my kid. But we live down in southern Illinois, and my son Matthew was really sick. And our pediatrician couldn't get us into the office to see her until after Christmas. So we went to Walgreens, and some of those Walgreens have nurses there to diagnose and whatever. And so while we were there at Walgreens in the lobby waiting to see the nurse, poor little Matt's body just gave up the fight. And he began to get sick there right in the middle of the store. And I mean, not coughing sick, but vomiting sick, okay? Now, being dad, wanting to fix everything, I immediately sprung into action as all this happened, and I tried to catch all of it in my hands as it was happening. And moms and dads, if you've been there, you know how futile that can be, right? Okay? Let me stop here for a second, okay? I would like to apologize to you that you now have this image in your head. Okay, I didn't wake up this morning with the goal of wrecking your brunch or anything like that. But here's the silver lining in all of this, all right? The good news is that somebody caught this whole scenario on their cell phone, and they texted it to me, and so we had the following year's Christmas card that year, and it was a picture of Matt getting sick. So where God closes a door, right? Actually, that's not the case at all. In fact, while Matt was screaming and crying and puking all over the place, not one person in a very crowded store would acknowledge that anything out of the ordinary was happening. And this whole scene went on for a long time. And as I thought about that and what had happened, I realized, you know, this is really a great illustration of how we approach sin in the 21st century. That idea, you know, if we just ignore it and pretend it's not there, then it's not really there, right? And that's not it at all. God says, oh, no, no, no. That's not how all of this works. It's unfortunate because this is the mentality that leads most of the people living on the planet Earth today to believe if they're just halfway decent individuals, they are saved. But to believe that is to ignore the reality of sin. It's to ignore the whole point of Jesus Christ. See, if there was something that you and I could do to save ourselves from our sin, then Jesus' birth was not necessary. But the problem that we are dealing with here is too massive for us to handle. In fact, it's so big, the Son of God had to leave heaven to come to this earth to take care of this problem and fix it. The disease we have is that big and it's real. And it is imperative that we turn to the one and only doctor who can and does fix this problem. That's the baby in the manger who has come to take the sins of the world away. That's what he has come to do, and that's what he wants you and me to know and live in. So your next blanks. Advent can seem like it has a tone of judgment to it, but it's not meant to cause despair as much as it's meant to wake us up. God doesn't threaten us with separation for something to do. He does it for our benefit. He is simply being honest with us. See, that's what the Bible says. God sent his Son first and foremost to save the world, not to judge it. God wants to free us from our sins, from our burdens. So God's honesty with us about how all of this works is actually an act of love and generosity. So your next blanks, the call to repentance isn't a punishment. It's God calling us to receive his love, forgiveness, grace, relief, and mercy. He wants us to have true peace, true joy, and true life for all eternity. And so that's the call for us today. Keep your sights on the main thing when it comes to Christmas and when it comes to life. And it's all about the baby in the manger and what he has come to do for us. And he did just that. He took care of all of that. And that means everything's different now. So that means that we get to put aside the stuff that is unimportant and realize what is important and stop obsessing over the minutiae and the little things that aren't really all that important because salvation has been taken care of. We have the main thing provided for us. And by keeping our sights on the main thing, we actually get to enjoy all of the other things that much more. See, God isn't saying to you in the Christmas season, hey, don't make really great cookies. He's not saying don't have parties. He's not saying don't put up lights on your house. Speaking of which, man, the Hemingways, we are bumping up into Griswold territory now. I am so stoked about all this. But God isn't saying that. He's saying, look, when you get the main thing as the main thing, you get to enjoy all of that stuff even more, because then it goes to its proper place, and then you can really, truly have fun with it and celebrate it. So next blank, Christmas doesn't happen so that we can be stressed out. It happens to remind us that we don't have to be. God loves you and sent his son to pay the price for your sins. All other burdens take on a different meaning now. That's my prayer for all of us. Make the main thing the main thing. Enjoy the other things that are cool and can be fun, but just aren't crucial to our eternal lives, so that we can properly enjoy this season and every day of our lives. So anybody pay attention to the massive worldwide event that happened on Friday? All right, lots of stuff happened on Friday. What am I talking about here? They released the new trailer for the new Avengers movie. Seriously, this is, I know, it is kind of funny that with all the bad stuff and serious stuff going on in the world, this is what was such a big deal on Friday. In a few hours' time, it had been viewed and shared over 40 million times. It broke all of those kinds of records for this sort of thing. It's a huge deal. And if you Google that title, Avengers Endgame, which is the name of the upcoming movie, you can find all kinds of articles and videos of people who have broken down this two-minute clip, second by second, to dissect the meaning of what could possibly happen in this next film. Now, I'm not going to ruin the previous movie that it's attached to for you, but I will tell you this. Some horrible things have happened in that first movie that indicate the bad guys won, and many of our beloved superheroes are now gone for good. And because of that, that has prompted this huge cultural discussion about what has happened, what's going to happen, and what we can expect. So a lot of media and writing time has been given to this theory. And I was reading one of these articles that was written about all of this. And it discussed the reason why we care so much about this and what's going on. And they put forward what I think is the accurate theory about this. The reason we care so much about this and we're waiting for the ending and waiting to see what happens is because we don't want to think that all of the good guys fighting the good fight is for nothing, and that at the end of the day, the bad guys win. But if we're being honest with ourselves, sometimes life feels like that, doesn't it? Feels like the bad stuff always seems to be outdoing us, that we can't catch a break, that the evil of the world seems to win. But Advent tells us something different. It tells us that the evil of the world took its best swing at the good guy and got totally crushed by him. Oh, sure, there were times within the story where it looked like the bad guys won the day. I'm sure that on Thursday night and Friday afternoon, people were pretty down about what had happened. But guess what happened after that? Sunday morning. And then our Lord and Savior ascended into heaven, where he's working as our agent in front of the Holy Trinity and working on our behalf. That's not the story that we need to dwell on, is Thursday and Friday. We always go to Sunday and Thursday, where everything gets taken care of. See, evil didn't stand a chance against this guy, and everybody who wants to be with the guy who won the war gets to take part in his victory over sin with him. That's the story of Advent. And so all of this stuff that we believe is for a reason, and it's for a purpose, and that purpose is about saving mankind, actually saving you from all of your sins for all eternity. And that means that you can live in a different way today. So how do you make all of this happen? How do you get into this, and how do you make all of this change for your life? Well, here's the deal. You don't have to. Christ made all of this available to you if you want it. He did all of the work for you. So if that is something that interests you today, the call is this, and this is your next blank. Hold on to tomorrow loosely and hold on to Christ tightly. Because once you were slaves to sin and death and your sinful nature, now you are free. Because of the work and death of the little baby born in the manger in Bethlehem, you are free from the burden of sin and all the trouble that it brings into the world, and that's what God is offering you this very day, so receive it. Your last blank is a prayer. God bless us to celebrate his gifts of repentance and salvation, not just during this season, but every day of our lives. God bless it to be so. Amen. Would you please rise?